Hello, and thank you for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. I'm Austin Holthouse, and co-hosting with me are Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder, Rick Parisi, and Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy head coach, Rob Boyle. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. You can also listen to us on our website, weekendwarriorshockey.buzzsprout.com. Hello and welcome to Weekend Warriors Hockey. We're here for episode 15. I'm Austin and joining me today are Rick and Coach Rob. Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, Austin?
I'm good. Thank you. And Coach Rob, how are you doing today?
I'm awesome.
Good. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. And just a reminder to our listeners, we have started an every 2 week schedule for uploading the episodes. So look for the Weekend Warriors Hockey about every 2 weeks as the season gets really going for Rick and Rob, and they'll be traveling a little bit more this summer. So let's go ahead and get into today's show. We're doing our fourth player profile episode to highlight another adult hockey player who has a great passion for the game of ice hockey. And today we welcome in Simon McNamara for today's episode. Welcome, Simon.
I'm really happy to be here with you.
Quick intro on Simon. Simon is from Montreal, Canada, and he grew up there playing hockey at a local outdoor rink with his brothers and neighborhood kids during the winters and played some street hockey during the summers. At the age of 25, he got invited to men's league, and that was his first, bought his first set of equipment for that league. Now at 34 years old, he's finished playing his 10th season of men's league hockey. And about 5 years ago, he got tired of, and I'm quoting Simon's own words, of being the worst guy on the ice. So he decided to take some steps to improve his hockey skills. After looking online for hours, he found Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy, and he decided to attend the camp in Shelton. That's in Connecticut, correct?
Yes.
Rick, the Shelton one?
Yep. Shelton, right, Connecticut.
Awesome. So he attended the Shelton camp in Connecticut and a few years ago. And now 2020, he's planning on attending the Toronto camp for his fourth camp. So he's already done three camps and he's coming back for more. So Simon, I say to you, well done on that for keeping your learning going and your attempts to get better every single year. So he's going to be heading to the Toronto camp this year for his fourth Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy camp. All right. So Simon, anything I left out or anything you wanted to add? Otherwise, we'll start asking you some questions.
Hey, Austin, if I could just chime in, one of the things we always talk about at camp is, you know, it's not just what you learn at camp. You got to take, you got to take that stuff you learn and practice it.
Of course.
And like every year Simon comes to camp and it's like, he's up a level or two. Like he's clearly works hard, on his game, on the stuff he's learned. So I'm sure we can talk about it more as we get into the interview, but he's definitely kind of like a model student in terms of doing, what we ask him.
That's amazing. That is exactly what I love about adult hockey.
Your gold star is in the mail.
Yeah. Exactly. Your gold star is in the mail. That's what I love about, adults who play a sport that they're passionate about is the willingness. When you talk to someone like Simon, who's willing to put the time and effort into it to get better. And he does get better. You get the payoff from it. For not starting out playing men's league until he was in his mid-20s, to get better every year. That's what I love about, talking to folks on this podcast. And then also the people I've met at the camps is everybody's there to try and get better. So I think that's awesome. And I think that's exactly what Rick designed the academy to do. You can't just go once and expect to become really good. You got to work on it. So Rick, you want to kind of dive into that with Simon about, how the academy has helped him with his hockey?
Yeah, Simon, just, kind of tell us a little bit about, what you've learned at camp and then how you've applied that to improve your game so much.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the compliments there. I really appreciate that. The main thing that I do is there's a local rink near my house, like 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away, that has a ice time on like Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. And since I work from home now, I'm free to go there and do whatever I want. And when I go there, I'm practicing. I go there with shin pads, elbow pads, gloves, sometimes even a helmet when I really want to push myself, and I'm just, and I'm just working. And what I do is every year I go to camp.
Sometimes a helmet.
Yeah, I've got long hair, man. I gotta let the flow just breathe.
It's all about the flow.
All right, I just wanted to clarify. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, what I do every year at camp is I try and like kind of absorb one or two key topics of things that I should be working on for next year. And then I kind of go home and practice those things for a year. And then, you know, come back next year to camp, see if I did okay. And then pick up one or two more things for the following year and just kind of keep the ball rolling like that. I watch a lot of online videos, like YouTube videos, tutorials, different things that I found. I'm not going to list them because it's kind of competing Rick's business model here, but I found some really good ones.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And we don't feel like, you know, Simon, like, you know, Weekend Warriors isn't the only way to learn hockey, right? And it's great that, you know, in fact, we encourage it, right? Like, go to your weekly, you know, learn to skate classes, go learn, you know, get on YouTube, learn videos. There's so many ways to learn. And camp is kind of a very intense way to do it, right? Because it's a lot of training over the course of a long weekend. And of course, you're getting feedback, which in a video, you're not getting the feedback. But definitely, you know, take advantage of all the different learning, you know, methods out there and to improve your game. It's great to see the passion in the players that want to do that.
Yeah. I show you guys my phone, but I've got my notepad here. I've got like 12 exercises of skating exercises that I have listed of things that I like to do and practice and want to work on. And then I'll just, you know, bring that with me to the rink and say, okay, like today I'm going to do these three. And I'll just work on that for an hour. And yep. Next week I'll do another three and then, you know, cycle back maybe every month and just kind of keep working on things, you know, very incremental, just always trying to improve a little bit in different areas until it becomes, you know, like a full package.
Right.
So let me ask you something, Simon, because I hadn't really, before I went to the camps, I didn't spend a lot of time online looking at videos or things like that. But since then I've done the very same thing you do. I'll go with my phone to the rink if I'm doing stick and puck. And I may have a video that I want to work on some exercises with. And I'll watch the video. I'll put my phone back on the bench and then I'll go out and I'll try it. And then I'll come back and I'll look at the next one. Very similar to what you do with your notepad. Mm-hmm. But my question is, were there things you were introduced to at Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy that you then went back to your routine and that you got more, I guess, more in depth with? Where basically was Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy the kind of the launch pad for you to get into some of these, whether it's drills or movements or things to focus on?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a little bit messed up because I've been skating since I was 5 years old and I went to camp when I was 30 for the first time.
Yeah.
I had literally never heard of edges before.
Yeah. I said the same thing in like our first or second podcast. I was like, what are these edges?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, in hindsight, I'm realizing that my dad was a terrible teacher and a bad teacher. But, you know, when you're 10 years old, he's the best. That was one thing that just blew my mind. And I was like, oh my God, like I have been missing like just the whole world of skating ability and skating knowledge that I didn't even know was out there. And I've been just, you know, slowly working on improving the edges over the years. At first, it was mostly the flat edge and the inside edge, because those are more accessible and easier to, you know, just easier to learn and kind of be comfortable with. And then mostly this year, like starting from like last camp, I've been working almost exclusively on outside edges. And it actually led to a huge, huge breakthrough this year, particularly with transitions.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's what Rick and Rob are hoping the camps are able to do is give people those initial tools, and you just got to keep working on it and working on it. And I've said before, you know, I'd never done any inside outside edge work at all until I went to camp. I still can't do really well on the basic drills you do on that first night that Rob teaches you. But I try as often as I can when I go out to stick and puck. And I try to do the things that Coach Rob taught on those sessions. And I think about them. And I think you probably do the same thing, which is why we have this platform to try and talk about that, to encourage people that you will get skills taught to you at the academy if you go to a camp, but you got to go out and you got to continue to practice them. And I love hearing from you, Simon, that you are passionate about doing that and working, and it's hard. You know, I went to the development last Tuesday night, and one of the guys I was with was like, I wish we played with the puck more. And I kept saying, dude, skating is what it's all about.
Yeah. I 100% agree that all of the, like the good players in the league that I play in are all just better skaters than the guys who are less good. And it makes a huge difference. And my skills are not particularly outstanding, but my skating has been a standout, you know, like feature. And it's made me like one of the better players because I'm just hard to play against. I'm in the way. I'm catching up to guys. I'm getting open.
Yep.
Getting, you know, getting distance from people. And so it makes you a useful player out there. And
yep.
It's the foundation. It's like running in soccer. If you can't run properly, you can't play soccer.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. That's a great intro, to what the Academy, you know, that Rick and Rob, are able to provide you a platform to do that. And it's obvious that you enjoy it because you're going back for your fourth time this year.
I'm going to say, I like what Simon said about, you know, coming back year after year and like focusing on a couple things. I think when people come the first time, you know, sometimes it's like drinking out of a fire hose, right? There's so much stuff. And then when they come back, it's like, oh, you know, maybe there's, you know, I'm going to focus on a couple things and focus on one or two or three things and then learn those things, focus on them next year you come back. And so, you know, guys that come back year after year are learners like that, where they kind of tend to, you know, are able to say, well, I came back and I reinforce a bunch of things, but I really learned or picked up two more things that I could really work on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So this probably is a real quick answer to this question. So you said you normally go on, I think you said Wednesday mornings, to do some basically what I call stick and puck or, just being able to skate out there, and you play league. So how often overall do you play per week?
I don't do stick and puck. It's really public skating. So no sticks, no pucks. I have a good imagination, so I just kind of pretend like I'm little circuits. But usually I play once a week, and sometimes I'm able to sub in another league, a second time per week, and then my skating session. That's my usual like regimen.
Yeah, so you get to work on your fundamentals at least once a week, and then you get game situations maybe once or twice. So then that kind of leads to, you know, I mean, you've been doing this skating, at least playing some type of hockey since you're five. You've been playing adult hockey since you're 25. So about 10 years now in. What keeps you motivated to doing it?
You guys actually talked about this a few podcasts ago, like maybe a month or two ago. The league I'm in, I had realized before the podcast that I was super fortunate to have found this league, but league is a strong word. It's really just a pickup team. There's 20 regulars. You know, we pay upfront for the year. We have a guaranteed spot anytime we want to play. And then, you know, we call in some subs whenever guys can't make it. And probably 90% of the sub spots are taken by the same five or six guys. So it's super tight knit. Everyone's friendly. There's no locker room. Like the locker rooms are not assigned by team. So literally half the time you're sitting next to a guy who's not on your team. And so it's just, you know, and the teams change every week and just super friendly and everyone gets along. And, you know, the biggest drama we have is the goalie calling the defense an idiot when, you know, they leave some guy uncovered in front of the net. And, you know, most of the time it's, you know, just like, Jesus, you know, open your eyes, God. And then, you know, you go back to playing and it's just super fun. And so that's been just the community there has been a really, really like big part of it. And plus just the physical challenge, you know, getting out there playing a fun game, you know, pretty normal stuff.
Would you say your passion has grown as your skills have gotten better and you've noticed that you're able to do more things on the ice than you could before?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it definitely feels good to be better and to be able to score more goals. And, like, you know, 5 years ago, I might score a goal every 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that. And now if I don't score a goal in a game, guys are like, haha, you know, guys are laughing at me and making fun of me that I didn't get one that time. So that's a lot of fun for sure. It's motivating.
Yeah. I feel that motivation too, I'm not any good. Believe me, but as I've gotten a little bit better, the better I get, the more I see the product of my work on the ice when I'm playing, the more motivated I get to keep doing it. So, okay. So I think we've already kind of hit the big topics we wanted to hit with you, Rick and Rob. Was there anything you wanted to ask Simon before? He does have a couple questions. We'll try and get a few of them in that he wanted to ask us. Was there something you guys wanted to ask him about?
I was just going to say, I think it's great that you found an environment where it's conducive to learning and you don't have that pressure of playing in a league. And sometimes I wish everybody could find that at least once a week. If you're doing more multiple instead of playing in multiple leagues, try to find that 1 hour that's just a pickup or a drop-in or a group of guys like you have. And I think it's more conducive to trying new things. It takes the pressure off. You guys, it's very lighthearted. It's not, no, there's no pressure. And I think that's fantastic that you found that. You know, I would try to encourage everybody to at least try to find that for an hour so that, you know, you don't have that pressure of playing in the league. And, you know, as much as we'd like to say adult league's fun, there's some people that can get pretty intense and, you know, it's all about winning the game. Like, I couldn't care less personally, but there are a lot of people out there like that still. So I think it's great that you found that environment where you can learn and do all that stuff without the pressure.
Yeah, that's cool, because it's kind of, you know, reminiscent of when we were kids and we played, you know, street hockey in the playground, right? Like, our parents weren't there. We didn't have coaches. We just went and, you know, divided up teams and we just played, right? And we had fun and there was no pressure, and it's the fun of the game without, you know, I mean, yeah, we kept score, but at the end, like, did it really matter? So it's all about the fun of the game that way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We don't keep score. I mean, we keep it for the game, and then 4 minutes after the game, it's forgotten.
Right. Everyone exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I was, so Rob and I were kind of laughing about the fact that you said you didn't wear a helmet, but then I think we were both thinking that you were at a stick and puck session, but you said you were at a public skate, which is interesting because basically you are just literally working on your skating.
Yeah. It's part of my fitness routine also, that my gym closed last year, and I just figured, like, look, if I'm going to be out there skating anyways, I might as well push myself and really, you know, just really make it an exercise.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, yeah, I know other folks that do the same thing, that when public skate, sometimes, especially during the day at rinks, is very minimally attended, might as well use it. You don't have to worry about pucks flying around or the urge to pick up a puck, which is what happens to me. And I end up shooting for 45 minutes instead of working on my skating. So,
right.
Yeah. So, all right, let me ask you one quick bonus question, that we had a listener who thought might be interesting when we do these. So I'm going to throw this out there. If you need a second to think about it, that's fine. But all right, what's the last piece of hockey equipment you bought or received that you're using?
Well, I had skates for the past like 15 years that wore out last year. But so that's just normal, turnover. But otherwise, it was elbow pads that I was kept getting slashed on the forearms, or slashed, like hit on the forearms. And I basically just bought.
I thought you said it was a friendly league. Yeah.
Accidental, but you know, you still kind of get block shots and stuff like that. So I got some longer ones to just cover, you know, pretty much right up into the glove.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you, let me go back to your skates though. Was there a marked difference between your old skates and your new skates, just from a technology perspective and comfort?
Yeah. I ended up getting, in Canadian dollars, but it was $500 skates that were on special for $250. And the steel is amazing. And also, you know, as you sharpen skate, or as you get skates sharpened, they kind of mess up the curve of them. The, you know, like the 11 or 14 foot or whatever it's called.
The radius.
Radius.
So these ones have a nice long radius.
Yeah. I know a couple of people who are skating on skates that are 20 years old and they refuse to switch to new ones. And they're like, my old skates suck. I hate them. But they refuse to get new ones. The new ones these days are just so absolutely amazing. Yeah. With helping you skate better. So, all right. Well, Simon, I'm going to turn it over to you. You want to, you know, we'll answer questions until you got to kind of head out, and we'll kind of see where it leads to.
Yeah, I'd have two questions, I think, for Coach Rob, if I can get him in, even a third one if we have time. So one thing is, one kind of thing that I've realized from watching videos and from my own games is that often my policy is, if I'm the second man back on defense on the rush, I pick up the second man forward on the other team. If I'm the third man back, I pick up the third man, fourth man, fourth man, and the positions don't matter. Would you agree that that's a good reasoning to have?
Yeah, I would. I think it's different every time you come back. If you're coming back, it might depend on the situation. So if the first player going back has got a really tight gap and is closing in on the offensive player, and there's nobody else coming down the ice, I think you could probably go support. If it's a case where the offensive player is going to have a lot of space, what do we say at camp? We want to protect the guts of the ice. stay in the middle and do try to pick up that next wave of attack coming in. And if it's two guys coming in and you're all alone, you just got to kind of feel for the situation and, you know, try to put yourself in a position where you know you can defend it and not put yourself in a position where you're going to be chasing somebody. I mean, I think that is a very good philosophy. You know, it's just a case you want to make sure you're reading everything. So let's just say as an example, the third player coming in goes wide, doesn't come down the middle.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been to Weekend Warriors camp yet. He doesn't know what he's doing. And so he's coming down wide. So I'm not necessarily going to stay with that player, but I'm going to stay in the middle of the ice so that, you know, so I can take that lane, that passing lane away. I don't necessarily have to go man on man. So again, I think it's a situation that it's always going to change. It's never going to be the same. But yes, I would agree that that's a pretty good philosophy. It's ideal, right? That's the ideal situation, but it's not always going to be ideal.
And so it's kind of up to the other players to also be reading that, right? That, okay. Like.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. So again, in an ideal situation, an ideal world where everything is perfect, I would want my centerman to be the first guy back, right? I want him and support low and help out, but that's not the case always. So if you're F3 in the offensive zone, they start breaking out. It doesn't matter whether you're the left side, right side, you want to come back through the middle, kind of make your read. And you know, do I go to the puck? Do I go to this side? Do I stay in the middle? You have to make all those reads. So yes, your line mates have to read off of you and make sure they're kind of filling the gaps. So if you're on the right wing and you're coming back on the left side because that's where the puck is, you're the first guy back. Then whoever it is, next player, right, needs to be coming back and filling that spot. So again, depending on the scenario, if you're going low, you always want to come back to the strong side first, and then the third guy would take the weaker side through the middle. So yeah, they definitely have to read off of you. You know, and again, like you said, if it's a player that's still learning the game and they haven't quite figured that out, help them out. You know, be a good teammate, try to help them out, because you were in that spot once too, trying to learn, you know, how to play and what to do. So, you know, don't get mad, don't get angry. Just try to help them out and explain to them, this is the situation. I'm the first guy back. I got to go here. I got help here. And you got to fill my spot. And when everything works out, then we can get back to our regular position.
I think you should maybe just stick a few brochures in your hockey pants. And, you know, when he's out of position, just hand him a brochure and send him to camp.
Yeah. The other option is to do like I do and don't back check. Don't worry about it. The puck will eventually.
You just never get back there.
I don't really like to, but no, I'm just kidding. I back check sometimes. So, all right. What do you got? What's next, Simon?
Okay. So this is kind of a two-part question is, so as I've gotten better, I've become one of the more faster skaters and more like able movers. And I often get paired with people who are slower and less mobile. And I'm sometimes like stuck in a weird position where I'm like, I know that technically I shouldn't try to go up alone and just kind of go one-on-one with the defense. But if I wait for the guys to like catch up to me, then the whole team is caught up to me anyways. And like, you know, there's not going to be that good of an opportunity here. And I'm just wondering like what's a good way for me to adapt to that? And like part B is like, if you're the slower guy, like how can you kind of help the quicker guy, you know, like how can you support him better and give him more options? Because sometimes, you know, like if I'm crossing the red line at full speed and some slow guy is half, you know, not even halfway through the neutral zone at half speed, like I can't wait for him. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Well, you know, in that scenario, I mean, what is the game? We want to attack. It's their job to catch up to you and get in a position to receive that puck. So my advice to you would be to attack. You go. Now, do you want to go one-on-one and try to make a move, or do you want to drive a lane? You know, if you want to try one-on-one and you think you can make a move and make a defenseman look silly, why not? Otherwise, you know, just attack a lane. Try to go around. Maybe create a little time and space for yourself, go around the net, and maybe by that time your other offensive support is going to be caught up to you. You could turn towards the boards. Maybe they'll be caught up to you. If the defenseman's doing a great job keeping that gap, you can adjust your speed, but you want to hit the blue line, right? You want to get through the neutral zone as fast as we can. Once you hit the blue line, maybe you can control your speed a little bit, and just depending on where everybody else is. As you're going down the ice, you still want to be taking a look, you know, look around. Where's my support? Is there anybody coming back? Okay, well, I can adjust my speed and allow that player to catch up. I mean, there's certain ways of doing that. Crisscrossing, taking a different lane. If you're on the right side, you can cross the left side and go on your backhand side. It might allow a couple of seconds for them to catch up. I mean, there's a lot of different ways of doing that. But it's not your job to wait for them. It's your job to get the puck in the zone, go attack. It's their job to catch up. But there are ways where you can create time and space for them to allow them to catch up and put themselves in a position where you can make a play. So, I mean, there's a, like I said, you can go around in that tight turn towards the boards, control your speed. It just depends on what's happening on the ice at that particular time.
Okay. I think I like that. I think one thing I don't really do is I rarely do the, you know, turn towards the boards and wait for guys, or like the driving a lane, like you said. I don't really do that too much. So I mean, that's something I have to try and factor in a lot more and give people a chance to, you know, get back into the play and be part of it.
Yeah. And if you drive a lane and the defenseman does a good job of pushing you, just keep going, go around the net. Like, don't be afraid to hang on the puck. We see this all the time in the adult league. And when we do our scrimmages at camp and we review them, you know, we see a player going around the net, they get a little bit of pressure and the thing becomes a hot potato and they got to throw it out blindly in front of the net and hope
yeah,
that somebody's there. Like I always say at camp, and I said this 100 times, like, hope in life is great. Hope in hockey sucks.
Okay.
Because it doesn't work. And so don't be afraid to hang on to that puck and take it around the net and make a play and look for something better. It's okay, provided you have the time. If you are getting a lot of pressure, then you're going to have to make a different decision.
Yeah. Let me ask Rob, what are your thoughts on being unpredictable, meaning doing all of them at different times in the space of a game or multiple games, meaning that, you know, if Simon finds himself in this position, because I find myself in that position sometimes too, where you're a little bit ahead of your support. But if you're predictable and you do the same thing every time, you as a defenseman are going to know exactly what I'm going to do every time, which makes it easier for the defenseman.
Yeah, the great thing about in the National Hockey League is that, you know, they have video. They're watching for trends all the time. That's why you have a video coach. They sit down and look at that. They look at trends of players and stuff like that. So you might, in the league that you play in, you know, find that a player does the same thing over and over again. You can actually pick up on that and say, okay, he likes to do this. I know that. So I'm going to defend it how I know he's going to do it, or because I know what he's going to do. So yeah, you want to try something different each time. But again, it just depends on, you know, you want to have a lot of tricks in your pocket that you can pull out at different times. Don't stick to one thing, try something different each time. But if you're doing the same thing and they're letting you do it.
Yeah. And it's working.
No one's forcing you to change. Why? You know? Yeah. But you want to have the tricks in your pocket, certainly to pull out when needed. So as I said, whether it be a tight turn towards the boards, hanging on the puck down low, controlling your speed, try to force a defenseman to get out of position. There's a lot of different things you can do, and in different scenarios are going to call for different options.
Yep. Excellent. All right, guys, we're at 30 minutes. Is there anything you wanted to throw out there? One last thing, Simon, otherwise I'm going to turn it over to Rick.
What do you do if you're the slow guy or you're behind the play? Like, even if you're not a slow guy and I'm just like, you know, I was behind my net and then now I have to catch up to the play. You know, what's a way that I, like, something that I can use to try and be more more involved and more useful in that kind of a situation to help, you know, someone who's, you know, 10 feet in front of me?
Skate your ass off.
I could see it in his face. That was going to be his answer.
Well, actually, I mean, that's what you got to do. So the other thing, and I've said this before too, so we get into our adult league, you know, if you really are playing hard and doing the things that you're supposed to be doing and you're out there longer than a minute, then you're doing something wrong. You're not working hard enough. I understand that sometimes 9 players show up or 8 players show up. I get that. But, you know, if you're there and you have a couple of lines and you're out there for more than a minute, you really aren't doing the things you need to be doing. You can't be a spectator on the ice and be successful. You got to get involved. That means, yes, if I'm behind the play and I got to bust my ass up to get caught up, then that's what you got to do. You can't sit there and watch your offensive player and then all of a sudden you're going to get to the blue line and expect something to happen. It's your job as the supporting offensive player, so supporting the puck, get yourself in position to receive that puck. That's your job. If you're not doing that, you're just going to be a spectator. Like you know, it's a hard game to play. In the sense that, you know, you can only go for so long. Like, you should be going hard for as long as you can while you're out there. I understand there's going to be times where you're not going to be exerting that much energy. There are those times in the game, but for the most part, if you're out there more than a minute in men's league, then you've probably been out there too long. You're not working hard enough.
All right. Well, Simon, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. I've really enjoyed it, and I appreciate, at least from my end, your passion and dedication to getting better and to playing and thinking about hockey as well. So you had some other questions that you had. What we're going to do is take those and we're going to just basically do another episode where we'll try and answer those questions the best we can. If you have other ones, any other ideas, please send them in. And I definitely would love to talk to you again once you get back from Toronto with that camp and kind of see what else you picked up. You know, I mean, you've been to a number of camps, and I think going to more camps is not going to hurt anybody. So Rick, do you want to do a quick summer weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy camp update? Let everybody know kind of where we are.
Yeah, sure. Well, after a first half of non-season, we are getting ready to kick things off. So we are planning to get started in a few weeks in Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's July 16th. And then after that, we go to Anaheim, week off, we go to St. Louis, week off. And then we've got Toronto, Morristown, New Jersey, Washington, D.C. And then we've added camps in September. So we've got Shelton, Connecticut for right after Labor Day. And then after that, we go to Lake Tahoe. And then we go to Austin, Texas. And we end the season in Vail, Colorado. Our Vail camp got pushed, and we're having that October 1st to 4th. So 10 camps in about, I don't know, what's that, like 12 weeks or something like that. It's going to be a little crazy, but.
Awesome. That's great news for you guys. And I'm glad you're able to get going and then get some of the ones that were delayed in towards the end of the season. So, all right. Well, Simon, once again, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
And look forward to hearing how Toronto camp went for you. And for everyone else, thanks for listening. And thanks for joining us on this episode. We hope you enjoyed our episode and are motivated to learn more about how you can improve as an adult hockey player. If you have show ideas, disagree with anything we said, or just want to say hi, please contact us. Simply email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com or leave a message on Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram sites if that's easier. We love to read responses and listener questions on the air. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. Share us with a friend or two or three and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the show and want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard and improving each time you're out on the ice.